Welcome to episode 38 of the Tax Hawk podcast. Your host, as usual, Jared Pallon for Legacy Tax and Accounting. Today, we are looking at all things personal tax. So if you haven't filed that 2023 tax return, this episode is for you. First off, we're looking at home office expenses. Gone are the days of COVID, hallelujah, but so too are the days of claiming a $2 flat amount for your home office expenses. Now, if you want to get that home office deduction, you need to get your employer to fill out a T2200 employment expense form. In addition to that, you are now going to have to supply us with all of the details as far as the, you know, utilities and things of that nature, size of your house, size of the office, in order to make that claim. Ensure that your employer is filling out that T2200 form correctly. I believe it's box 6 that needs to be identified as you working from home as a requirement of your employment, and making sure that you are working at least 50% or more from home in order to make that claim. We can provide you a list of the expenses that you are allowed to claim on that tax return. And it would be my advice if you just tally those things up and then send us in totals to avoid us having to go through and do all that work on your behalf. Always trying to save the accounting fees as best as possible. Number two, looking at some real estate cautions. So in the past, you know, there was probably a little bit of gray area in respect to property flipping, but new residential property flipping rules have been enacted for any disposals after January 1st of 2023. So unless you fall into certain exemptions, that flipped house that was held for less than a year is going to be brought in as fully taxable business income and no longer available for any capital gains treatment on that, whereby 50% of that profit was brought into income. So what are some of those exemptions that might come up that would kind of get you out of these new flipping rules? Some of them could be, you know, a death in the family. You know, maybe you have an addition to the family and, you know, maybe it wasn't quite planned out and you need to expand. Maybe you took on a relative or something like that. You know, someone needed some care and you needed to expand your residence as a result of that. You know, marital breakdowns. If there's, you know, security issues within a household that can result in, you know, allowing you to pick up an exemption under these rules. So make sure you're always watching these, irregardless of, you know, what type of property is being sold. Ensure you are reporting that to us so we can get that onto your tax return. Even if you're claiming that principal residence exemption, it's important to have it on there. If you neglect to report that, CRA could look at that down the road and then report that as a fully taxed disposition of a house, even though it might have been available to claim that principal residence. So always report that information to us as the situation warrants. So now that we've dealt with some real estate cautions, let's look at some real estate possibilities. So one of the new tax credits that it's available for 2023, multi-generational home renovation tax credit. This allows you to, you know, either renovate a current space, maybe put in an addition to the house, build a secondary unit, something of that nature that allows a senior or an adult that has a disability tax credit to then live with you. You're providing them with a, you know, a decent place to live, some care, and then you're able to claim the tax credit as a result of that. What does that tax credit look like? So it is the lesser of $50,000 and the qualifying expenditures in the particular tax year times basic federal personal tax rate of 15%. So that's something to kind of keep in mind. I think there's a bit of a crossover in respect to the medical deductibility as well for home renovation tax credit there. So you could potentially kind of get access to both of those if some of the expenses line up there. Another one to look at is the First Home Savers account. So this was first introduced a couple of years ago. You need to get that account opened in your name in order to start accumulating some room within that. It doesn't kind of work the same way as a TFSA, whereas, you know, that room just kind of accumulates to you whether you use it or not. This is in respect to accounts that have been opened in a particular calendar year. Then you get access to the available room for that year. I believe in 23, it was $8,000 that you could contribute to that. So it's an important account. If you are in that first home, you know, buyer's pool, looking to save some money, it kind of combines certain aspects of a tax-free savings account and an RRSP. It allows you to grow some income there tax-free while also deducting those contributions that you make into that program. And then ultimately you can use it to purchase that first home and maybe get yourself into the home buying market, because I know it is a bit of a struggle there, especially for the younger people these days, trying to get into the market with home prices and interest rates at what they are. Next up, want to talk interest rates. So in the past, you know, CRA interest rates, although, you know, not great, they weren't exceptionally high, especially during those COVID years. You know, it took a fairly big dip over a few years there for sure. And a lot of times, you know, it didn't necessarily make a whole lot of sense. You know, maybe if you had some other debt, you could pay that off as opposed to paying some CRA balances down. Effective for the quarter one in 2024, though, CRA's bumped that rate by another percent. So we're looking at 10%, 10% on arrears balances, and, you know, installment interest payments being late, things of this nature. So, you know, as I always suggest to my clients, you know, if you know you have a tax payable amount, you don't have the money to pay it, you know, it's wise to still file your return on time. You're going to avoid a late filing penalty, which again is going to be subject to interest at that higher rate. File the return, let the balance sit there. If you got to pay a bit of interest, so be it. But don't think that not filing is going to be beneficial in any way. It's just going to generate penalties, which are subject to more interest. And, you know, irregardless of whether we're talking individuals or corporations, you know, this interest, these penalties, they're non-deductible for tax purposes. So it's essentially like throwing money down the toilet. I strongly advise to make those payments as best as possible. I know things are tight out there, but look to make those CRA payments wherever you possibly can. On next to the underused housing tax credit, everybody's favorite from 2022. I know this generated a lot of uproar. We put out a letter to MPs, you know, calling on them to, you know, get some of these regulations dropped, make some amendments to this, because the legislation was so far reaching that it impacted nearly every Canadian that owned a house, and it was just ridiculous. I know they had anticipated collecting, you know, a few hundred million dollars from this particular tax program, only ended up, you know, collecting, I think, about 30 million on it. So all in all, it was a big letdown. I think over 400,000 returns ended up being filed with CRA in regards to the UHT. And all in all, it became a very, you know, significant annoyance to people, a big time suck for a lot of accounting firms, and just a lot of needless and redundant fees on filing returns that had no particular use. So good news on this front. Some, you know, proposed amendments came out to the Underused Housing Tax Act that will now see trustees, partners, and then specified Canadian corporations moved into that excluded owner category, whereby you no longer have to file these returns for 2023. There are probably some limited circumstances where you may be subject to these returns and you would need to still file and potentially pay the tax. So if you think you're in this particular, you know, scheme or bracket here, you need to touch base with us to ensure that, you know, you do get those returns filed on time if they do apply to you. And this would mainly apply to individuals that are not Canadian citizens. That would probably be my jumping off point as to where to look if the UHT might still apply to you. Lastly, I want to talk Bear Trust reporting. So, again, when this legislation came out, very broad sweeping, applied to all sorts of individuals. If you were on mom and dad's property or farm for probate planning, you had created a trust relationship, thereby requiring a trust return to be filed. If mom and dad were on your property because you needed some help with some financing, you created a trust relationship, thereby requiring a trust tax return to be filed. Good news, early March, CRA decided to eliminate any of the penalties on returns for 2023. And then just as recently as March 28th, they have decided to completely eliminate the requirement for Bear Trusts to file these tax returns and specifically report some information on what would have been Schedule 15, basically outlining the settlor, beneficiaries, trustees of that particular trust. So I know a lot of frustration kind of, you know, resulted from this. It covered, again, nearly anybody that owned a piece of property in any kind of different way. It impacted a lot of different individuals that held, you know, bank accounts or investment accounts in joint name and various other relationships like that. So good to see that you know, requirement for those returns was pushed back. So if you filed that return, you know, ahead of the April 2nd deadline, thinking that there was a requirement there, and there was at that time, you know, I would suggest maybe reaching out to your MP and just letting them know that, you know, what this particular bad legislation has led to as far as, you know, your time, you know, and maybe some potential legal or accounting fees in regards to having to file that return and then, you know, CRA deeming it not a requirement a few weeks after that. That kind of wraps it up. Those are my kind of six big things to watch for. If you still haven't filed that tax return for 2023, we've got less than a month to go now. Seems like time is just ticking by as quickly as I can imagine. The April 30th deadline for Canadian tax returns is going to be here before we know it. So make sure you're getting your information into us at Legacy Tax as quickly as possible. It gives us the most time to review everything and ensure that we've got everything prepared correctly. Again, records can be dropped off in person at our offices in Red Deer or Didsbury, and then Thursday out in Trochu. Alternatively, we have portal setups that we can get for you. You can send the documents securely electronically as well. And then various signing options coming into the office or sending those documents via DocuSign for you to kind of finish things off. So hopefully that helps, gives you a little bit of insight into what we've been looking at here in the 2023 returns, and then some things that you can maybe look for, I guess, as far as 24 goes in respect to some of those, you know, first home buyer accounts, the tax credits, and then just getting those balances paid with CRA. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us at reception@legacytax.ca, and we will be happy to help you. For Jared Plon and the Tax Talk Podcast, thanks again for watching. Take care, and we'll talk soon.